allow Zunaida Musa Wadiwala to Zunsberate you. Goodreads is an exclusive book review show on Radio Islam International.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Welcome to Radio Islam International on this lovely Friday afternoon with myself, Zunaida Musa Wadiwala, on the Good Reads program. Now, there are certain things in this life which make us happy, and I guess they are different for each one of us. For me personally, what makes me happy and causes me to glow from the inside is the feeling of being loved, reading a good book, having a true friend, and riding a horse. Now, I started riding at the age of 17, and honestly, my love for horses has only just grown. That is why I'm really excited to share a book about Arabian horses with you on the Goodreads program for today. And as for your dose of inspo, on the Zunsperation slot, I will be discussing how to be a part of the solution. Now, I have to confess that I'm a little bit biased to this book, and this is because it contains so much that I hold dear: Arabic, horses, calligraphy, and poetry. So, without further ado, let me introduce you to Al-Asil, the purebred Arabian. The author is Maulana Yusuf Fema, who, incidentally, was my ustad for a whole year in the subject Functional Arabic, in which, amongst others, we learned the different dialects of Arabic. And Maulana has done a remarkable job in what I can say is the first book of this nature in the English language. So, to sum it up, this book is a unique blend of Islamic and modern research on the Arabian horse. But first things first, I have to be honest, I really, really admire this book. Not only because of what is written on the inside, but the beautiful, the cover, the leaves and papers, headpieces are all works of art. The vignette is a beautiful piece of Arabic calligraphy with the title Al-Asil, calligraphed in the shape of a head, neck and throat latch of a horse. And it was designed by the Egyptian calligrapher Mustafa Amiri. The end papers are works of art too, you've got to see. The face down is a color photograph of a horse against a sunset backdrop. And it's owned by the Al-Badr Arabians, who are horse breeders based in Port Elizabeth, which is also from where the author hails. So the back face down is also noteworthy, but I think I will omit a description here and allow you to view and to admire it personally, inshallah. This book was published in 2012 by Maulana himself. The foreword opens with a declaration from Maulana confessing to his having been an ardent horse lover since childhood, with the result that he has spent many hours of his head buried in the pages of horse novels and books. And you know what? It sounds pretty much like my own childhood. Maulana also takes the opportunity to promote and encourage the readers to revive the art of horse riding. And he reminds us that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam ordered us, teach your children swimming and horse riding. The book consists of 6 lengthy chapters covering this area of special interest in complete detail. From the very beginning, the author catches your attention as he talks about horses in Islam. Really, this book is a minefield of information, and amongst others, we learn that the Prophet ﷺ truly loved horses, and he displayed his affection for them through his actions and words. But an excellent way for you to grasp what this book is about is actually the way the author tells us himself in the foreword, and I'd like to quote you here. Being an ardent horse lover from childhood, many hours were spent with my head buried in the pages of horse novels and books. Later on in life, I learned the language of the Quran and of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam which allowed me to understand those verses and sayings of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wasallam that related to horses. The doors were now open to not only the recent research on the Arabian horse in English, but also numerous books written by Muslim scholars over the past 1,400 years in Arabic. Though I read many books, I never came across a book that had detailed both the significance of horses in Islam and the description of horses, more specifically the Arabian horse. Allah Ta'ala made it possible for me to embark on a journey of compiling a book of that nature, which was a labor of love. The format and structure is therefore unique in this respect, but stands humbly beside the extended volumes on the subject. This is not intended to be a thesis or dissertation for a scholarly audience, but rather a straightforward read for all those interested in learning about the Arabian horse. And further in the introduction, the author tells us that horses have played a pivotal role in the history of mankind. There is no other species that has had as close a relation to man than the horse. Throughout the history of man, kingdoms rose and fell. During the pre-technological era, the strength of a kingdom was always determined by its horsepower. Up until the recent push-button era, for centuries, the strategic and tactical conceptions of warfare were based upon the use of the horse. The swifter and stronger the horse was, the more powerful the army was. So back to the book. Chapter 1 is titled Horses in Islam. It tells us about horses mentioned in the Quran, and it refers to the relevant surah and ayah. It explains further the different words which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has used to refer to horses in the Quran, because we know what a rich and beautiful language Arabic really is. The book then discusses in much detail horses mentioned in the ahadith. There are numerous ahadith which quotes both, and in fact they are all quoted both in Arabic and they are followed by the English translation. Subhanallah, so much to learn from here. The horses which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam owned are mentioned next. Their names with the meanings are discussed. And the book lovers out there will be fascinated by the next section, which is some works of Muslim scholars over the past 1,400 years on the subject of horses. Amazingly, the number of Arabic words describing the shapes, colors, markings, sounds, and qualities of the horse literally run into thousands. Interesting facts, like the names given by the Arabs for every stage of a horse's life, are also mentioned. We go then further to chapter 2, which describes the characteristics of the classic Arabian horse. Descriptions and discussions include distinctive features unique to the Arabian horse. Chapter 3 then is titled The Desert, the Bedouin, and Their Horses. Really, it's beautifully researched and presented. It's historical and other facts are also provided for our interest. And very interesting, the link between horses and poetry is an absolute must read. I can't even begin to tell you how much I personally enjoyed that. The pure bloodlines, the horse breeding tribes of Arabia, and memorizing of lineage are also discussed. We move on to chapter 4, which gives us the history of the Arabian horse. It includes a timeline. And then chapter 5 discusses the Arabian horse today, which is quite a pertinent read. And then lastly, chapter 6 is the personal experiences of the author, really enjoyable. So I highly recommend this book for those who are passionate about Arabian horses. And if you would like a copy, then stay tuned because I will announce exactly where you can purchase your copy at the end of this program. And that takes us onto the Zoomspiration slot, which, as I mentioned earlier, talks about how to seek to be part of the solution. So we know that this world is a place of crisis and problems. There is actually no family, no institution, no school that does not suffer some difficulties. Some difficulties are sometimes due to the nature of work, the nature of life, and the circumstances which we experience. Others, however, are due to human shortcomings, mistakes, and errors due to foolishness. We all know that there is in every place a number of good people who try to repair what others have destroyed and corrupted. They, in fact, try to bear some burdens instead of their family members or community or even their country. And these few people are like the salt of society or like the fragrance and light because they realize the problems facing their society, their community, and they believe that they are not a part of it, and thus they seek to resolve such problems. Now, for example, take a neighborhood in which most people do not offer their salah or salah. This is not a life problem. But the people who offer the congregational prayers in the masjid then call those who do not attend the prayers in the masjid to attend. So they follow up on them and they continue to call them to do this until their situation changes. And such callers who perform such a blessed action then become part of the solution to a problem. Another example we can say there's a family who's suffering, and then the family is having difficulties and hardships due to unemployment, and it's becoming an economical problem. But if one of them searches for work, he would have taken a step in the right direction on the path of being a solution to the problem, and in that way he then becomes part of the solution. So to try and be part of the solution, we need to keep the following points in mind. Number one, it is a great honor for anyone to be a reformer or someone who can be somebody who gives glad tidings to the community. Number two, a person cannot be part of the solution unless he's on a higher plateau than others who surround him. So let everybody be like that. Number three, do not surrender to the satanic whispers that say you are neither efficient nor capable of reform, but instead trust yourself and seek Allah's help and assistance. Number four, if you are not part of the solution, then most probably you are part of the problem itself. And lastly, number five, try to solve problems before they grow bigger and then become out of control. So that's it for the Good Reads program for today. I hope you enjoy being in my company as much as I enjoy being in yours. Please do interact with me on social media. I look forward to going into the holidays with you because I've prepared something very exciting to be announced soon, inshallah. If you would like to purchase a copy of Al Asil, The Pure Bread Arabian by Maulana Yusuf Bemat, then this book is available at Al Ihsan Bookshop, a wing of a Dar Al Ihsan Humanitarian Center, located in Tikal Lake and Overport, Durban, Day Courier countrywide. Call them on 031-577-7868 or WhatsApp them on 084-401-1527. You can visit their website www.alihsanbookshop.co.za. That's it from me, Zubaydah, until we meet again. Assalamu alaikum.